The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Lobontoni. A woman bought a $35 bust at Goodwill, and it turned out to be a 2,000-year-old relic.
Tony Kornheiser, you know what else is? Yubi Brown. And you're going to say, don't be cruel to Yubi, but you know Yubi loves when we mention him.
He does, but you know, the context is everything. Yubi does watch, and Yubi has been great to us, has he not? Yubi's been great to us throughout our careers, and you call him a relic.
Well, I read what's written for me, but I guess that's true. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Ja Morant is doubtful, Nikola Jokic is reportedly the MVP, and Rich Strike is your Kentucky Derby champion. But we begin today with the two playoff series some of us thought were over, and now they are tied at 2-2. Dallas had appeared lost in Phoenix, but won both games in Dallas. Philadelphia was lost without Joel Embiid and got beat by 30 points in two games in Miami. But now with Embiid back, the 76ers are pounding Miami. So, Wilbon, which of these comebacks is more surprising to you?
Well, Tony, I've been going back and forth since we decided we were going to discuss this today. And, you know, Philadelphia, because you don't know, like, how effective is Joel going to be in the wake of a concussion, wearing a mask after a fractured orbital. I mean, it's not reasonable to say, okay, play like the MVP right now for the next couple of games. But he did, particularly in game four. Game three was like a warm-up. Yeah. And you know, I told you, I thought that the Suns and Mavericks was going six. And you and Perkins talked me down. You know, you shouted me down and told me I was crazy. And I'm not crazy because it's going at least six. And Luka Doncic, look, Devin Booker, I voted higher in my MVP ballot. I had him second, I think. But Doncic didn't give a great first third of the season. But you can make the case that Doncic is the best player in this series. You can make that case. And Chris Paul, with the way the referees treated him and those stupid foul calls yesterday, that put them in some jeopardy, too. I'm going to say Philly, Tone, because I thought Dallas could take this six. You know I thought that.
Yeah. What I love most about this show is your recitation of who you vote for MVP 1 through 35. I really appreciate that.
On the record. On the record.
The Philadelphia 76ers comeback is not at all surprising given the context of Joel Embiid. If Joel Embiid is on the floor and functional, they are as good as Miami, if not better. I had this right months ago. What I got wrong was who was going to lead the parade. I didn't realize that Harden needed Embiid more than Embiid needed Harden. And Harden whiffed in the two games without Embiid. But he got 31 in the most recent game. And if Harden and Embiid play like this, they're going to win. The Phoenix-Dallas thing is surprising. It surprises me because I had Phoenix in five. It surprises Kendrick Perkins because he had him in four. And to tell the truth, Mike, you conceded that we were right after game two, so it has to surprise you a little bit.
The entire series
turns on Chris Paul. You're going to say it turns on Luka Doncic. No, it doesn't. He's getting 33 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. That's what we expect. Chris Paul had a bad game three, and he was taken out of game four by the referees. He only played 23 minutes, three terrible calls on him. He ends up with six fouls and 5 points. If he plays well, they win. It's that simple.
I hope it's that simple for game five, Tom. I really do, which is tomorrow night back here in the desert. The Grizzlies and Warriors are back on the court tonight, but Ja Morant, listed right now, is doubtful. The Grizzlies star is suffering from knee soreness that the Grizzlies think was caused when Jordan Poole grabbed the knee. Morant tweeted, quote, broke the code before deleting that tweet. Tony, is Ja right that this breaks the code?
So I don't think he's right. I've seen the replay a number of times. I completely understand why the Memphis coach is agitating to get somebody suspended because he's losing his best player. I mean, I get that part. Although, amazingly, Memphis is 20-5 without Ja Morant. I don't know how it's possible. You take your best player off the court, right, and you're an even better team. But 25 games, a pretty big sample size. I have to be honest here. I didn't know there was a code in basketball. I know there's a code in baseball. I know there's a code in hockey. I know what those codes are. I didn't know about it in basketball. Now we hear this phrase all the time. And I would just ask you this. Was there a code, you know, when Laimbeer and Mahorn were playing? Was it code red?
Apparently
you want
not.
Me on that wall? You need me on that wall? Because this is new to me. And I don't think what happened to Morant is anywhere close to what Dillon Brooks did with Gary Payton II. I just don't.
Well, you and I are in total agreement. And this whole code narrative is a runaway narrative that is now fraudulent. Because Jordan Poole, he's not even looking at Ja Morant's knee. Yes, he gets his hand on it. How many times is somebody's hand on someone's elbow or shoulder in a game or hip or waist? Stop it. This is just stupid. Yes, Steve Kerr singled out something that most people, most players, ex-coaches, coaches seem to agree with Gary Payton Jr. being knocked to the floor and suffering a broken elbow at the hands of Dillon Brooks. All right, Dillon Brooks back, by the way, in tonight's game. But, Tone, that's not the right. case with this. I mean, I feel bad that Ja Morant's hurt. I want to see Ja Morant. I told you on your podcast this morning, to me, Ja Morant, Tony, he's in that group of people that is in the nomination for most exciting players ever. Ja Morant could be nominated for that category, so I want to see him. But that wasn't intentional. There was nothing reckless about it. There was a hand on his knee. These movements cannot be calibrated. This is not the ballet. So shut up with this stuff. Shut up with the code. Stop. By the way, that's a great reference to Mahorn and Laimbeer. Talk about code.
Yeah.
How about when they rode Larry Bird's head into the hardwood? That was probably violation of the code.
By the way, I do think that Golden State is going to win game 4. I mean, look how well they shot. I think they're a better team. We move on. Boston will play tonight in Milwaukee, where they lost game 3 on a controversial foul call at the end of the game. Marcus Smart was going for a 3 to tie the game with 4.6 seconds left, and he got a whistle, but Smart only got a 2-shot foul. The official denied Smart was in the act of shooting. Boston ended up losing by 2 when they couldn't get a tap in off the deliberately missed second free throw. Wilbon, did the Celtics have reason to be upset at that call?
Hell yeah. And I don't care how many statements the NBA issues to the opposite effect that this is the right call. It wasn't the right call. That's an arrogant thing to do, is to then proclaim it the right call. People have eyes. There are coaches and former referees and players out there that we all talk to. And everybody knows it was a bad call. So own up, be honest, take accountability, which the league wants players and everybody else to. Be accountable and say it's a bad call. It's a terrible call. There are lots of terrible calls in these playoffs so far, and I hope it doesn't wind up costing some team a series and the right to advance. But that's just arrogant. It's a bad call. Marcus Smart is going off the ground into his shooting motion. Shut up with this, all right? I mean, it's egregious that the league is trying to push this as a good call. Yeah. It was a dreadful call.
Let's look at context for a second. There are less than 5 seconds left and you're down 3, so you have to hit a 3. Marcus Smart is not going to give the ball to Jason Tatum because he can't hit the side of a barn. He's 5 for 19
smart.
In that particular
smart
game.
Was 1 for
5
8.
For 19. But Smart's going to trust himself. He's going up for the shot because the time and circumstance demands that he go up for the shot. So it is a very bad call. The NBA has said they have supported the referee's decision that he was not in a shooting motion. In that same report, Mike, the NBA conceded that 5 calls in the last 2 minutes, 5 calls were bad. This, to me, would be 6. That's an awful lot of bad calls. Does that mean that refereeing crew is going to get another assignment? If you concede 5, and you have to concede this, I mean... If you are watching this, he's going up to shoot. There's no other way to look at it.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it, Tone. And all these calls, again, I said, I'm not saying these are bad officials. I know a lot of these guys, almost all, they're in many cases terrific officials who work month after month after month and have terrific games. They're not covering themselves in glory, the NBA, right now. And don't have NFL-level right. arrogance where you think the rest of us are blind and can't see what the hell is going on.
I will say this. I think Boston has a real good chance to win Game 4. They'll be motivated by this. And they've outplayed that team the last two games. Let's take a break. Coming up, news leaks that Nikola Jokic will win MVP. Is he the right choice?
And was Rich Strike's more exciting moment winning the Derby? Or Tony's obsession getting toothy with the lead pony after?
He is attempting to bite the face off of the lead pony.
Like, yeah, I didn't. It's,
you talk about.
I'm glad you allergies. Explained that to me. I didn't understand that. I needed a primer.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to see what's on the minds of people with nothing better to do than to email us. Let me see what's first here. Let's turn it right side up. Nikola Jokic will reportedly be named the NBA's MVP. Is he the right choice?
Tone, as far as I'm concerned, there were four candidates who were the right choice. Jokic, fine, particularly because he played the whole season without what you would consider the second and third best players, Porter Jr. and... I'm forgetting the name of the guard from Canada.
So Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray. So, yes, he had to play without those guys. He was fabulous. But Embiid played without Ben Simmons the whole year, even though he thought he was going to have him when the year started. I voted for Embiid, as we well know. Tone, you could also vote for Devin Booker. You could also vote for Giannis. So any of those four is the right choice. There's no wrong pick. I found at various times I had written down as I prepared to vote, I'm going to vote for this guy. That guy was Jokic one day. I'm going to vote for this guy. That guy was Giannis one day or a week. I'm going to vote for Booker. And I wound up voting for Embiid. Any of those guys was the right choice right. to me.
Again, your voting patterns are fascinating. We should do an MSNBC special on your voting patterns.
Documentary, yes.
He's the wrong choice. I sat here a month ago when this whole thing started
really?
With you and who you were going to vote for. And I said to you then, I'm not voting for him if I had a vote because he's on a sixth-place team. It was as simple as that. Yeah, I wouldn't vote for Ja Morant, as spectacular as he is, because they win all the games when he doesn't play.
25 games
without him. I wouldn't have voted for Devin Booker because Chris Paul is more important to that team than Devin Booker. And I wouldn't have voted for Embiid for a very specific reason, because on the last time that he played against Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo blocked his shot. The shot that was going to win the game. Antetokounmpo had better stats in that game head-to-head. Antetokounmpo's team won that game in Philadelphia, and Antetokounmpo's team finished ahead of Philadelphia in the standings. I would have voted for Antetokounmpo.
And that would have been fine.
It was easy.
That would have been fine. Yeah. I just said that. Any of those guys would have... Look, everybody's got a reason, right?
Yep.
To vote for one of those players, Tom. I get the reasoning, but you know what? Embiid, if you look right now, it's a regular season award. How great does Embiid look coming back to save the 76ers right now against top seed Miami?
What was more exciting, the actual Kentucky Derby race or the feud between Rich Strike and the lead pony after that race?
Well, as you know, the race wasn't exciting enough to keep me awake because I watched the pre-race for like 30 minutes. I was all set to watch the race just to make you eat it because I rarely watch the race. And then I fell asleep and I talked to you and said, what happened in the race? So take it away. This is your event. Okay. You went crazy over the horse trying to nibble on another horse. Explain it all.
Loved it. Loved it. It was a great and thrilling race. The horse, Rich Strike, starts out all the way on the right in a 21 slot and moves all the way to the left and wins on the rail ahead of the horse on the rail at the number one slot. Epicenter, which I believe they had faced off once before, and Epicenter beat him by 33 lengths. That is not a close race. The greatest upset, I think, in history of horse racing. You understand completely why the horse went off at 80-1, because he wasn't in the field as late as dawn on Friday. Somebody had to scratch for him to get in. So you get all of that. But after the race, when the lead pony is bringing him into the winner's circle and Rich Strike is biting the face of the lead pony to such a degree that the guy in the red jacket riding on the lead pony balls up his fist and begins to punch the Kentucky Derby winner in the face time after time. And you want to watch it, and NBC can't cut away because that's the Kentucky Derby winner. That's the horse. Bang, bang, bang. Right in the face.
Well,
I mean, that
why
was
does
wild.
The horse... Have you ever seen a horse go Hannibal Lecter on another horse?
Do I look like an equine psychologist? I don't know why horses do what they do.
You watch this stuff. This is your event. You love it.
Love it. The greatest payout ever was great. I will tell you the analogy to make. It's to John Daly. John Daly was the ninth alternate at Crooked Stick. Had no chance of getting in for the PGA. Probably got in that morning and won the PGA. To me, that's the greatest long shot in golf. And this was the greatest long shot in horse racing.
Didn't try that.
John Daly, we don't know. Enough email. Let's take one last break. Still to come. What happened to Canelo Alvarez on Saturday night? I believe he lost.
And are we watching the rise of tennis's next big men's star? I didn't understand. I don't get it. Horses don't eat other horses? What are we doing here?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 22nd birthday, Trey Lance. Is this the year the 49ers go to Lance at quarterback? They moved up in the 2021 draft to take Lance at number 3 overall out of North Dakota State after only 17 college starts. The 49ers stuck with Jimmy Garoppolo last year and they made the playoffs. But is this the year they say goodbye to Garoppolo the way the Chiefs did to Alex Smith to make room for Patrick Mahomes? Lance was 1-1 as a starter last year, 5 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions, 603 passing yards. The 49ers situation may be further complicated by what happens with Deebo Samuel, who right now may be more important to them than Lance.
Well, the guy who won a quarterback needs to get the ball to Deebo Samuel. And if San Francisco's considering trading Deebo Samuel, that would be stupid. That really would be. Why would you trade the most lethal weapon, it seems to me, in that's the right. NFL right now on offense, because that's what he is.
Well, John Lynch says he has no intention of trading him. We'll see. Happy anniversary, Chicago White Sox. On this day 38 years ago, the White Sox finally defeated the Milwaukee Brewers in the longest Major League Baseball game ever. It lasted 25 innings in a span of 8 hours and 6 minutes over 2 days. The teams were tied 3-3 after 18 innings, and at 1 a.m. the game was postponed. The game resumed the next day, and both teams scored 3 runs in the 21st inning. Unbelievable. And a walk-off finally won it in 25. The longest playoff game ever was in the 2018 World Series between the Dodgers and Red Sox. That went 7 hours, 20 minutes. Max Muncy ended it with a walk-off homer in the bottom of the 15th after just missing with a foul blast earlier in that at-bat.
Tony, I was going to ask you if you could name one active player on the White Sox roster, but the video just sort of gave it away. I presume you would have gotten Harold Baines correct. I presume that. Number 3.
Oh, I get. Oh, sure. I would have gotten Harold
and
Baines.
In the Hall of Fame now, Harold Baines.
Yes, I would have gotten Harold Baines. You probably like that team, but not as much as the Cubs. Happy trails, no, Barry
Trotz. I like
Trotz.
That team. I did like
Lou Lamoriello, the Islanders' general manager who loves firing coaches, fired Trotz this morning after the Islanders failed to make the playoffs this season. Trotz coached the Islanders for 4 seasons. In his first 3 seasons, they made the playoffs. In 2020 and 2021, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they lost both times to eventual Stanley Cup champions Tampa Bay. Trotz, who won the Cup with Washington Capitals in 2018 and then walked to the Islanders, was 152, 102, and 32 in the regular season and 28 and 21 in the playoffs on Long Island, and he got fired. Trotz's 914 regular season wins are third most all time, and Lamoriello fired him.
This is what Lamoriello does, Tony. He fires people in the playoffs, but he won 3 cups with the Devils. You can't say anything to him at all. You talk about arrogance, but he won multiple times. Listen, with the season the Blackhawks just had with 2 different coaches, I'd love to see Trotz behind the bench in Chicago. I mean, by the way, why wouldn't a third of the teams in the NHL looking to upgrade go out right now and start calling Barry Trotz's agent? Why wouldn't they do that?
I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised he doesn't have a job right now after being fired today. There are 32 teams in that league. 25 of them should be jumping at the chance to get Barry Trotz. I know what you say about Lamoriello, but he fires coaches in the middle of the playoffs. If you're a coach there, you can't go to work for him. You can't, because you're going to be fired. No matter what, the guy went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 in a row.
Lamoriello doesn't care.
The Kings hired Mike Brown as their new head coach. Is that a good fit?
Tone, that's a situation that do they have enough terrific players for any coach to turn them around? Red Auerbach, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson? I don't know, but I wish Mike Brown luck. I love him. Love Mike Brown. And he's had some success at multiple places. Max Scherzer lost yesterday for the first time in nearly a year. Did we jinx him having him on earlier in the week?
Well, I hope not. He was such a good guest. He's a warrior god. But, I mean, when you consider that he hadn't lost in nearly a year, he'd probably get back out there and win the next 5 times he starts. Canelo Alvarez lost on Saturday night. Are you surprised?
Yeah, moving up in weight class did not help him, but he's got a rematch, wants a rematch anyway. 19-year-old Carlos Alcaraz won the Madrid Open for his 4th title of the year. 4th title! Wow, aren't you impressed?
This kid is a total stud. On the way to this title, he beat Nadal on clay, he beat Djokovic, he beat Zverev. He's 19, he looks like he's the favorite, you know, at the French Open right now. Last one, 4 NHL games tonight. Who you got?
All right, listen up. Capitals, Rangers, Avalanche for the sweep, and the Flames to even it. Write it down. We'll go over it tomorrow.
We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knucklehead. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
Kelsey McCarthy.